This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Where we have made a massive mess of people's lives and stirred up sectarian violence that has never been seen before. We forget that those people have lives to live to and lives to lose as well. 20 deaths were reported yesterday, and of course many more in the offing. First this from the National Weather Service. For today, showers likely, mostly cloudy, highs near 64, and we've got mild south winds, 5 to 7 miles per hour. For tonight, we could get a few showers, though it seems to be clearing up. Lows around 49. Tomorrow, overcast, clearing to become sunny later in the afternoon. We're looking for highs around 70, so the warm summer weather's coming back. Calm winds, 5 to 7, and for tomorrow night, partly overcast, lows around 51, not much in the way of wind. Looking at the alternative forecast, it's the last quarter root moon in Capricorn. The moon's 20 days old. The synodic forecast is they say that this is not a good time to be sowing anything in the garden. Instead, use the time to weed and harvest. It's an excellent time to start building a new compost heap. Isn't it always so? Of course, this being a waning moon, this is probably why a lot of the systems that rely on the movements of the moon are advising not to plant right now. Moon in Capricorn, it's an earth sign, it's a good time to sow root plants though. And the sidereal forecast, moon in Capricorn, potatoes and tubers planted now will have a strong growth. That's it for the alternative forecast as well as the conventional forecast. We're going to be speaking now with Justin Workman, who has got a report for us on the Resistance Ecology Conference. Good morning, Justin. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing?
We're well, thanks. I like everything about the idea of resistance and ecology, of course. And I wonder if you can fill us in on what some of the objectives of the conference were and some of the achievements going forward.
Yeah. So basically, this conference is kind of an attempt to bridge the perspectives of the radical ecology and animal liberation movements historically in the United States and North America, with a lot of the more broader perspectives of social justice work and how we can kind of build intersections and create a movement building apparatus that has intersectional analysis at its foundation as it addresses issues of ecological and animal exploitation, as well as the exploitation of workers, of women, of people of color around the world, of the third world. And we kind of want to have this conference as kind of the first stepping stone towards that sort of new movement building analysis as we move forward. We kind of feel like a lot of these more ecological movements have reached a certain state of stagnation, possibly because they face so many grave crises around the world. It's obviously evident that ecological destruction should be at the kind of forefront of social justice analysis. And we kind of want to figure out why are these movements facing stagnation? What sorts of things can we do? What sorts of novel ideas can we bring to the table? And how can we learn from the history of our own movement and of other movements who have faced similar and common enemies? And how can we help work together in order to bring them down in our common interests?
Thank you so much for that. We've got today, of course, is a Lynn Stewart call-in day, and it does, in fact, all tie together. That's the thing about it. We do share a planet, and our habitats overlap in unusual and interesting ways. What you talked about, communities and people solving human problems that are interconnected with the ecology, and incorporating resistance into that is exactly what we're talking about today. In addition to Resistance Ecology Conference, it's interesting to be coming as it does on the astounding news that the Nature Conservancy CEO Mark Turchek spent 25 years as an executive at Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. Right? Goldman Sachs, Nature Conservancy. Wait a minute. Now he's leading the world's largest conservation group. This is why decentralized efforts, people who do make up the resistance, are the critical factors if we are to have actual real change. I mean, it's not about sustainability. Nobody wants to sustain the mess that we're in right now. You know, it's about taking action immediately to address the problems. I want to thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We're just delighted to have you on the show. And we'll put more of this on the KBOO website. We're going to speak now with Noelle Hanrahan with Prison Radio. We, of course, are going to put out the call to call. A number of numbers, we'll put those up for you. We'll give them out on the air because this is a day that we all stand together in solidarity with Lynn Stewart. Good morning, Noelle. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I'm happy to be on your show.
Well, so why did you choose to stay? And there are thousands of names on the petitions. Can you let us know how Lynn is doing and what effect our mutual efforts have had so far?
Lynn's situation is grave. Her health is very bad. She's got stage 4 lung cancer, and she's in isolation. She's really suffering, and so it would be much better. Like, as I said, having stage 4 lung cancer is really bad. Having stage 4 lung cancer in a Texas prison is unspeakable. So we really need to have a compassionate release for Lynn Stewart. And it's been over a month since the warden at Carswell, the federal medical facility where she is in Texas, has forwarded her petition, which means that the local authorities have approved it, to the desk of the Federal Bureau of Prisons director, Charles Samuels. So that's who we're calling on people to call. And also we're calling people to call Obama and Holder to really make this happen. She can get better care. She can be around her family. You know, and this is the situation. Lynn originally had a 2.5-year sentence, or 28-month sentence. Because she spoke up, because she continued to defend the people that she had always been aligned with, progressive people, they brought her back to court and they gave her a 10-year sentence. When she went into prison, she was 74.
She shouldn't have had the 2.5. And in the first place, hey, can you hold that thought for a minute? We've got Alf Poynter on the other line, and I think we can, I think we'll be able to have him, invite him to join the conversation. That's probably quite possible, and it would be lovely to have add his voice to this. Yes, the whole story of what actually happened, the blind shake, and Lynn's work with the disenfranchised and people who have been demonized, in fact, has always drawn fire from the powers that be, and it is not. It's unspeakably cruel and ridiculous. It's a miscarriage of justice in the first place, but not at all surprising. In a moment, I think we'll have Ralph Poynter on the line also, but by all means, do continue. Why the 10 years? Why did they? How can they do that? How does that work?
It's not that they can or they can't. It's that they did it, and they did it directly in response to her being an activist and an organizer. They did it to chill our ability to stand up. And what we have to show them is that we won't be intimidated, that we will stand up, that we will demand justice for Lynn, and that the community, really, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Frederick Douglass said that. And really, it's important that people understand that what's happening is only what we are letting it happen. One of the prisoners that was inside with us said at one point, hey, you know, Mumia Abu-Jamal is not free because we're not free.
This is true. So, this is indeed true. Good morning, Ralph. Thanks for being with us. We have very little time left, but I want to add your voice. Noelle Hanrahan's also on the line. Can you talk a bit about why the call-in day and what we are doing here?
Well, what we're saying to the government is We the people will not sit by while the government that does not support the people, the government that allows offshore accounts and then to be short in terms of money for hospitals and short in terms of money for schools, allow banks to take all of the money and then punish those people who have helped us. We the people. Lynn Stewart's life has been exemplary in terms of working for causes that are dear and near to those of us on the bottom. We all want an education. We want a home. We want a job. We want decent working conditions. We want a level playing field, you know, for all people. We want fairness in government. So they take a person like Lynn and they punish her. Now, the reason why they increase the sentence from 28 months to 120 months is because they said even after convicted, she went around the country to law schools and universities corrupting our youth. Can you imagine? You know, I thought I'd finished with Socrates, and it was too much with Jesus. And here they come back with it again. And Lynn was going around the country to law schools and universities to debate the Bill of Rights, how the government had violated the Bill of Rights, debated the Patriot Act. How can we, the people, allow them to take that away from us in name of safety? I think Benjamin Franklin had said it. So many people had said it. And then here we are, allowing it to happen. That's what Lynn was talking about.
Well, hang on for a minute. We have to go. We're out of time. We have the phone numbers for people who want to call. We've been speaking. Ralph Pointer is Lynn Stewart's husband. He also stood side by side with her in solidarity all these many, many years and through this hellish ordeal in Carswell, which I might add is a communications management unit. I want to thank my guests today. My guests have been, of course, Ralph Pointer and Noel Hanrahan, the Prison Radio Project, and of course Justin Workman with the Resistance Ecology Conference. This has been a Cascadia for Thursday, May 30th, 2013. Rock Bergeron engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Rock. Kathleen Stevenson's the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, a powerful speech by Angela Davis given in April to commemorate Palestinian Prisoners Day, as well as to celebrate and advance the work of the Middle East Children's Alliance. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. Next, we're proud to present a speech, a very moving speech given by Angela Davis in commemoration of Palestinian Prisoners Day. It was given in April, also on behalf of the Middle East Children's Alliance. A very, again, moving speech about what's going on in Palestine now and what happened there historically. And it begins with Ziad Amas. He is the Associate Director of the Middle East Children's Alliance, and he too was made to go to jail, was tortured, had his house stolen when the Israelis expanded their ethnic cleansing in the West Bank. So we begin with Ziad Amas. Listen to this.
April 17, and this day actually make me nervous. Make me nervous for two reasons. First, because the meaning of this day, for me personally and for our people in Palestine. And second, because Angela Davis. And the meaning of this name in my life and in our life in Palestine. April 17th, it's the Palestinian Political Prisoners Day. Today in Palestine, every city, every town, they took different kind of actions to be in solidarity with Palestinian political prisoners. And other Palestinian communities and all over the world with their allies like you. They are standing to be in solidarity with Palestinian political prisoners. This is why we are here today. Not just Palestinian political prisoners, with every prisoner everywhere. ...4,900 Palestinian political prisoners right now, in this moment, inside Israeli jails. They are facing different kind of persecution styles by the Israeli incubation. They are distributed in 17 prisons and jails around Palestine and inside Israel. And by the way, the Israelis, every day in their life, they move near the prisons and jails. They see them. Jails, they are not far from their playgrounds, like here in California too. We see the prisons not far from each other. But to be honest with you, only the people, they experience the jail. When they see the jail, it's something shock inside them and wake them up. 4,900 prisoners. We need to go to visit the prison, not just in Palestine. I want you to go to visit the prison here. Hook up with the prisoners. Go visit them, build relationship. They need you. And by the way, you need them more than they need you. There are many ways where we can stand and be in solidarity with the prisoners. And we can take actions. Go tonight to UC Berkeley, support the students. It's very important. Anyway, I have a lot of papers here about Angela Davis, and I'm not going to read all of it. And I emailed Angela actually before, and I told her this is the way I'm going to introduce you. I didn't hear back from her. But